time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The president on Wednesday officially recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and ordered the State Department to move the U.S. Embassy there from Tel Aviv.
Today, we finally acknowledge the obvious, that Jerusalem is Israel's capital. This is nothing more or less than a recognition of reality. It is also the right thing to do. That is why, consistent with the Jerusalem Embassy Act, I am also directing the State Department to begin preparation to move the American Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. This will immediately begin the process of hiring architects, engineers, and planners so that a new embassy, when completed, will be a magnificent tribute to peace. In making these announcements, I also want to make one point very clear. This decision is not intended in any way to reflect a departure from our strong commitment to facilitate a lasting peace agreement. We want an agreement that is a great deal for the Israelis and a great deal for the Palestinians.
Clashes between Palestinian protesters and Israeli soldiers broke out Thursday in Ramallah and other places in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, one day after Trump announced that his administration would recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. The Woodrow Wilson Center's Robin Wright weighs in.
What happened today was the equivalent of throwing a diplomatic bomb into the peace process. The president decided that he wanted to do what every president for the last 70 years has refused to do, and that is recognize Israel as the Israeli capital before there is a peace process. There has always been the working assumption that this was going to be a reward for making peace and not something that was handed out on a silver platter beforehand with nothing tangible in return.
The Palestinian Authority called for a general strike in Palestinian cities and 3 days of rage. With backing from Turkey, the Palestinians said that recognizing Jerusalem was in breach of both international law and UN resolutions. Eight countries on the 15-member UN Security Council called for an emergency meeting to discuss the matter. It's scheduled for Friday. The New York Times on Wednesday reported that former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn assured a business associate that economic sanctions against Russia would be ripped up as one of the Trump administration's first orders of business.
NBC News reports that according to an unnamed whistleblower, Mike Flynn sent a text to a former business associate 11 minutes after Donald Trump was sworn in as president, saying Russian sanctions would be, quote, ripped up once Trump was inside the White House, and that a U.S.-Russian business plan to build nuclear power plants in the Middle East was, quote, good to go. This whistleblower says Flynn sent those texts while he was still up there on the dais. While the president was delivering his inaugural address, the whistleblower gave that account to members of the House Oversight Committee in June. Well, today, Maryland Democratic Congressman Elijah Cummings laid out the allegations against Flynn in a letter to the committee's Republican chair, Trey Gowdy. Cummings had delayed releasing this information until today, notably at the request of Robert Mueller. Cummings had asked that the committee subpoena Flynn, the business associate, the White House, and others involved in that alleged plan.
Donald Trump Jr. was questioned by the House Intelligence Committee behind closed doors and under oath for around 8 hours on Wednesday. Ranking Democrat Adam Schiff explained that the younger Trump tried to invoke attorney-client privilege regarding a conversation with his father about the June 2016 Trump Tower meeting with a Russian attorney and senior members of the campaign.
There was one significant area, though, where he declined to answer. He acknowledged having discussed the June 9th meeting and the emails that went into establishing that meeting. After those emails became public, he acknowledged discussing that matter with his father, but refused to answer questions about that discussion on the basis of a claim of attorney-client privilege. In my view, there is no attorney-client privilege that protects a discussion between father and son. As I understand it, this particular conversation for which they were claiming privilege took place after the emails became public.
Senator Al Franken is expected to hold a press conference Thursday regarding his political future. This in response to calls from more than 30 of his Democratic colleagues to step down amid allegations of sexual misconduct from 8 women who've come forward. Senator Bernie Sanders appeared on the CBS Morning News Thursday morning.
And Senator Franken says, listen, that last allegation was absolutely not true. He has admitted to some, but he said the last one was not true. But I've talked to both Democrats and Republicans who say this. Senator Franken may likely step down today. Senator Moore possibly may be joining the Senate. And he has been accused of far worse than what Senator Franken is accused of. What is your take on that? How do you
square
that?
Well, let me take it a little step further. We have a president of the United States who acknowledged on a tape, widely seen all over this country, that he assaulted women. So I would hope that maybe the president of the United States might pay attention to what's going on and also think about resigning. But if your point is that it's not just Al Franken, you're absolutely right.
And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I really can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.